This is Erie Street, a podcast brought to you by Matriarch Theatre. Now, we're all scared of something, from malevolent creatures in the dark to the pages of a cursed book. There is sure to be a fright waiting for you in the short stories ahead. Written and performed by young authors from across the country, this is episode 3 of Erie Street. In this episode, you'll be hearing stories from Jess Hewitt and Brendan Cademo. Now sit tight and enjoy.
I stopped running. The width of my shoulders leant against the cool concrete wall, all tension removing itself from my body. I was tired, late summer nights and warm mornings to blame. But here in the tunnels, the air was cool, which should make me feel at peace. But it didn't. The air was cool but hard. A beast that was still but not settled. And I knew he was out there, sprinting, hiding, waiting for me to begin. Maybe I wanted him to run further, past where I could find. I began to count. One, I could hear him giggling and running. Two, I wrapped my arms around myself. Three, and begged my eyes to remain closed. Four, I clenched every one of my toes. Five, I felt them burn. Six, I couldn't hear him anymore. Seven, I couldn't hear anything at all, really. Eight, maybe he's gotten lost. Nine, I should open my eyes. 10. I should do something, anything. 11. Johnny! My voice struck the still beast. It echoed throughout the Hill 60 bunker. The cold walls shook and shook and shook. My eyes were open, but it was pitch dark. Johnny took the torch when he was hiding. That was not counting to 30. I didn't say a word. Not out of loathing, but out of fear. What could I say? He wouldn't listen. He'd never listen. Johnny was an uncaged beast, and I was collateral. We stood in silence and darkness, the kind that binds and tears and clings, like a thin, knitted blanket. The dark, deep blanket cocoon of the bunker suppressed my words. It suffocated me. It smothered me. It silenced me. I could feel Johnny's little eyes eat into my skin and smelt his meaty breath near my face. I felt nothing but contempt. Come and find me then, sis. I heard his feet grind against the ground and felt the weight of his feet attack the floor, the beat of mine a lighter patter. The beating converged into one violent knocking sound within the side of my head. The knocking became louder and louder. Until I had realized I'd forgotten my torch. I began to crouch against the floor and hit my fist against the cool, hard concrete when I felt it. Raw, unabashed, and hateful. A rusted nail had rammed into my hand. I was paralyzed. My body had been frozen numb besides the cruel warmness that lay in the center of my fist. I went to scream my brother's name, to attack this still beast of air that surrounded me. But the beast was no longer sleeping. Thousands of tiny eyes lit the walls, sliding and slithering aimlessly in motion like beetles. The cold concrete of the wall enclosed my skin, pulling my hand backwards, reaching for my spine, grasping for my neck. My hand was now halfway down the nail. A flash of light penetrated my eyes, and there lay a man before me. A soft but cold-featured man. A man with a manicured smile and perfectly tamed disarray. His face was foreign, but familiar.
Oh my, are you hurt?
I tried to speak, but began to choke. My throat tightening and constricting, attacking the air in my lungs.
Here, Stay very still.
His thick fingers grasped my knuckles, his callus on bone. He pushed towards the wall, the ridges of the rusted metal assaulting my hand. Then he pushed my hand through the concrete, my hand one with the wall of the bunker. The wall felt soft around the outside of my hand, malleable. He gently pushed until my forearm was stuck within the wall. I tried to pull out, but my hand was cement. He smiled kindly. The creases that lay in the corner of his eyes were smiling seagulls. I blinked, and then I saw him. The little beady eyes, the meat breath, the vile contempt. The grin rose from kindness to malevolence. I felt his wrist, still attached to my wrist, firmly pushing into the wall. I knew that I could be forever bound to concrete and rusted steel. I refused. I grabbed Johnny's wrist within the concrete until he pulled both of our arms out, and I yanked his arm and pulled it into the nail. Sis! His whimpers seemed genuine. Come on, Beck, please! I turned and ran out of the bunker, my feet striking the ground with spite until I had exited the rusted metal gates of the tunnels and I was on top of the hill, looking out to the port. The ocean was painted upon the sunset, and I knew I was free.
I have an important question for you, young one. What do you know of these forbidden woods? He demanded, with a small, cold smile. I put myself out of my thoughts as I struggled to stand here, restricted, tied into the back of a horse carriage. I really don't know what you were talking about, I said, as I rubbed my hands together while I can feel the sweat running off my forehead. He thrust an old, brown, leather-like hard-cased book with yellow and withered pages at my feet. As I look closer, I can see that these pages contain translucent words inscribed on them. I am speechless, but his words bring me back into the present. It's your instructions for now, but I have to warn you that once you read this book and keep in contact with it, I pray to the dear Lord that you can live through it. That you know what to do to make it out alive. This moment feels like an eternity. I don't want to do this for you, I said, as he pulled out a black, sharp switch knife. When he starts to travel, I can feel my whole body getting hung over the floor. He lets go. I have fallen, unconscious. I get myself up, but I am still laying here, frozen and empty-handed. With this unknown book, I uncuff my wrists from outside of these knotted ropes while I stand up, while trying to take in everything as I watch how we continue to travel into this unknown but forested atmosphere. I really can't ask what I am doing here, so I question, where am I going? What is this place? What am I doing here? While the remainder of the world around me disappears for a small moment in my time. I start to follow the rubble with my vision that makes a clear direction to where I'm heading to help me. I cannot see anything but a long dark road ahead of me with a bunch of forest and a lighted candle to light the way. I can feel my heartbeat through my chest, but I know that I need to keep inside of these wooden paneled walls, even though I may want to break open and escape them. I take in everything that I can see inside of here. And I can see that these dilapidating wooden panels are half painted with darkened polish, cracking from every side. but still with the purpose to hold up these weathered layers of material from falling to the floor below. But there would be no other sign of life here, besides him and I. But well, that's what I thought. I can see that there could be a destination that we are going to arrive to at any moment, so I need to proceed with my thoughts with caution when I must make a plan to escape from here. I make some movement and reach out towards the book that has been placed beside me. I must open it, although it may come with some consequences, but I really don't have a choice. It reads, "You have now been chosen by we the brothers to take your rightful place in our ranks, to survive this challenged night to defeat all of the non-believers that you find in your path. So, to live among us, your blood must be clear and your heart must be strong." I get interrupted by an enormous thump of a falling tree branch and the jolting of a horse bumping me into the air and the carriage off the ground for a small moment. I stop and I listen to the man that has commanded, "Stop with this. We are nearly there, so then we can dispose of him." I can just see his huge body length, dark brown coat with his long white hair flying with the wind. I can notice the rain and thunderstorm swirling from outside of these paneled walls. So if I want to survive the unknown, I need to try to get out of here. I search everywhere to find anything that I can use to escape from here. But I've still been thinking through the words that I've read to then realize I might not be the only thing living with this curse. Someone could be out here, coming for me. If so, I might need to prepare. I need to do what I have to do. I need to make a move. I search everywhere in this carriage that I am barricaded in, but I'm still unsure if I can find anything to defend myself. But there could always be something in a storage chest attached. I quietly crawl over to the storage chest, with the collapsed, unpainted drawers and countertops with an old circular key attached to the unit. But I have very little time. I search everywhere in the drawers to find some salt, a candlestick, and a black switch knife. Was this the same switch knife that this old man has threatened me with? Do you think that this is trying to show me something? Could they have a connection with the book? But I couldn't get distracted because I could have my own life on the line. We have stopped. There should not be anyone here considering that we have just arrived. I have a feeling that I am safe. So I stand up and investigate in the gaps of the wood to take in the oldest building that I've seen in this unknown place. But how can I explain that I have just noticed the sudden breathing, oncoming footsteps, and the feeling that I have some person's watching eyes on me? I can see that these locks on the carriage doors are starting to unlock, so I can't run, I need to hide. I frantically look around, debating if it is safe to hide amongst the hay bales. As they check inside by unlocking the door, I jump outside of the hay and force the door closed. Because if they find out that I am here, there will only be one thing left to do. I will just have to make my way down the dark forest and find my way through the woods if I don't get caught by the door creaking closed behind me. I have to let the door go. I take another breath, and I stand my ground into the darkness. I need a moment to relight my candlestick, but it's too late. They were here.
Thank you for listening to Eerie Street. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a review on your favourite podcatcher. Until next time, stay eerie.